And the theme of the conference, or the main topic of the conference, was how can we, and we, you and I, make our services more inviting, make our church services more meaningful. How do we get more people involved? And when I say people, I mean members. How do we get our youth involved? Because they are an important part of God's church. They're the future of God's church. So how do we do that? Because if we remember the first time we attended a Church of God service, and this is a little history, and hopefully most of you are familiar with it, but if you're not, this will explain how a church service operated. But this was back in the, well, we began attending in 70, and for some of you, you began attending earlier than that, but some through the 70s and 80s and 90s. And if you remember when you came to church services, how unsure you were of what you were going to be a part of. And even though you were unsure and a little stressed out, you were also excited. I say you, but Barb and I as well. We were excited because we were coming to be a part of something that God had shown us was different than anything we'd ever heard, different than anything we'd ever done as far as religious worship. Because many of us growing up had always been taught Sunday's the day we go to church, and pretty much that's it. Go to church Sunday and then go home and watch the football game or whatever you do. I think when I was little, I'm not even sure if we had a television back then. But anyway, that's kind of what Sunday's evolved into even today is, you know, go to church and spend a little while, then go do your own thing. So coming to God's church was something totally different. And when we arrived at the hall, we were usually greeted by someone standing at the door, someone there to greet us, to welcome us, somebody sticking out their hand and saying, hey, glad you're here, and having a smile on their face. And that helped to relax us and make us feel better and get us started off on the right foot, that we knew we were welcome here just by that door greeter being there. And many times that person who was greeting would kind of hand us off to someone else who would then help us to understand where the bathrooms were, where the mother's room was. And then we would go into the hall and we would be approached by an usher who would then help us find a seat. The congregations back then were a lot bigger. And so the usher would help us find a seat. And that, you know, that just always helped just take a little bit of the stress away. I've got help here. I don't have to do this all by myself. And because we were all hoping, I hope nobody talks to me. I just want to come and listen. I don't want anybody talking. But with these people being there and helping, kind of taking us by the hand and guiding us, made a big difference and helped us to relax, helped us to begin to enjoy what was going on. And then we heard the piano begin to play hymns, and someone up front said, brethren, it's time to begin services. And we would begin singing hymns. And singing those hymns was the beginning of the service. It wasn't warm-up time. It wasn't time for people to finish up their conversations and then decide to go find their seats. Singing those hymns was the beginning of services, honoring and glorifying God through those hymns as a congregation. So after that, then we had the song leader introduce someone to give the sermonette. Sermonette? What's a sermonette? I'd never heard that word before. Many of us hadn't. And so someone gets up there and gives us a short message, and then the song leader comes back up, and again, we all together as a congregation sing another hymn, and then we hear the introduction of the pastor or whoever was going to be speaking that day and giving announcements, and they would come up. there was organization to those services. Everything kind of fell into place. And then at the end, the song leader again would come up and we would close services with a hymn, and then someone was called on to do the closing prayer. And just seemed so organized. Everything had its place. And then after services, after the amen, for an hour, people would stand around and talk. Maybe they had snacks, maybe they didn't. Always had coffee. But that was Sabbath services back then. A lot of people played a lot of parts in making everyone feel welcome, whether they were visitors or brand new or members that had been attending for a long time. Everybody felt a part of what took place there. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5, if you would. Ephesians chapter 5. Very important scripture here, really describing you and I, not only as individuals, but as part of something much bigger. Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 19. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. It says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord, singing those hymns, feeling those hymns, worshiping God through those hymns as they are. And I think sometimes over the years we've really forgotten that, that singing these hymns are our way of praising God, of beginning our services. But speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. We're all here. Not only submitting ourselves to God, but submitting ourselves to one another as brothers and sisters, as family, as the children of God. We're here for that reason. So as we think back how church services were back then, and then we think ahead to today, to how we have church services in 2014, is there anything missing? Is there anything missing that we used to have at services? Well, there are some things missing. There's a lot of people missing today. The Sabbath has lost its importance. The Sabbath has lost its priority over the years. And it's nothing anybody intended. It's just happened. We don't have greeters at the door. Why? We don't have ushers here to help people. Why? Why don't we do that anymore? Why did we stop? Now, do we need ushers with 30 people and, you know, 60 chairs? Probably not. But isn't it nice to come in and have someone greet you with a handshake and a smile? To have someone ask you, can I help you find a seat? Can I help you do this? Can I get that for you? So glad you're here today. We used to do those things. And I wonder what happened. We know we lost some of those things in about 1995. And I think we've all just sort of went on and just didn't think about, well, we should continue to do this. We should continue to do that, because that was a part of our service. That was a part of what made this church different. Those are the kind of things we need to get back to. When we have strangers come, when we have guests come, when we come to services, we should be as happy to see each other as we are to see a guest or a stranger, someone here for the first time. Those are the kind of things that make us a unique church. that make us different, that make us a welcoming place that people want to be on the Sabbath day. I don't want to be anywhere else except at God's services on Sabbath. That's where I want to be. I don't want to be at a football game. I don't want to be at Walmart. I don't want to be anywhere other than to be with God's people on God's holy Sabbath day. That's the way we used to think. And hopefully most of us still do. But I had mentioned before, as you can see by fluctuating numbers, something's changed. Something's changed. You can tell because we don't have people at the door, we don't have ushers, something's changed. Is it an inconvenience to serve? Is it an inconvenience to come to church 45 minutes early? Sure. It means we've got to get ready, get up earlier, get ready quicker, and to be here to serve. Yeah, it can be an inconvenience, but what's that worth? What's that worth? For the good it can do for the congregation, for the church as a whole. Members used to arrive, and I'm sure many of you remember this. We used to arrive at church an hour and a half early just to get there, just because we wanted to fellowship. We wanted to talk. We wanted to see one another. We wanted to come out of this world, and the earlier the better. And we would do that. Nobody thought anything of that because that was just what we did. We stayed an hour later. We went over to each other's homes. We went out to eat. Whatever we could do to spend time together, we did it. We made it happen. It didn't just happen. Members made those things happen. But we don't do much of that anymore. I don't know why. I don't know. We're still the same people. We're still in the same church. We still have the same beliefs. We still desire to be in God's presence and in each other's presence on the Sabbath day. But have we lost a little bit of that edge? Of those things that can we do without? Can we do without greeters and ushers and that? Yes, we can. But are those the things that really, really added something special to our services? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if you turn there with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And in verse 9. Says, God is faithful by whom you and I, were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Called into this fellowship. Called to come before God. God's very throne. And to be in the presence of our Creator, our Father, and Jesus Christ. On the day that God has chosen and has sanctified and has set apart for us to be with Him. He wants to spend time with us. 2 Corinthians, if you turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians in chapter 6 and verse 11. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Do we restrict our spiritual growth by our own affections, by our own desires, by the things that we want to do, by putting other things in priority over God's Sabbath day? And in verse 13, now in return, for the same I speak as to children, you also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. We've heard this verse read many, many times. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? The world and God's church. God's truth. Two different things, totally opposite. We can't have a foot in one and a foot in the other. It doesn't work like that. And as Christians, we should want to spend all the time we can together away from the pulls of the world, because we know how dangerous that can be. We are the temple of God's Holy Spirit. What does that mean to each one of us? Is that important to each one of us? And we know that the fourth commandment begins differently than any of the other commandments. The other commandments, thou shalt not. Other than honor your father and mother, all the other commandments say, begin, thou shalt not. Well, we know not to do those things, but the fourth commandment says, remember. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. God sanctified that day, that seventh day. The Sabbath day is given to us as a gift of something very special to God. Do we keep it holy, as God has told us to remember to do? God knows us. He knows we forget things. He knows we can put priorities above the Sabbath, to put priorities above God. But he tells us, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So we understand that God commands us to be here. So why wouldn't we do all we can to make his holy day the best day of the week? Because when we're here, the more members that are here, the better services are. Because we get excited seeing all the members here. We feed off of each other spiritually. We grow, we talk, we have conversations that can help each other. One word may be the word that's going to help me if I'm down and feeling really low and I come in here. Some word or a smile or a handshake, that's all I need. That's all I needed. But if that person wasn't here, I wouldn't get it. I wouldn't get it. But why would we, just as God did, make the seventh day, the Sabbath day, a special day? And we will do all we can as Christians, as children of God, to keep and honor God on that day. Ephesians chapter 4, if you turn there with me. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16. Again, describing you and I. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Each one of us brings something to this congregation. Big, small, doesn't matter. You bring something. And when we put that all together, just like Scripture says, it's big. It's important. Because it helps us all to worship God. It helps us all to remember the Sabbath day and why it's holy. And why God set it apart. We're joined together through God's Holy Spirit. Hebrews 2, if you turn there with me. Hebrews 2. God has a purpose for all of us. A very important purpose. Hebrews 2 and chapter 10. Or verse 10, I'm sorry. Hebrews 2 and verse 10. For it was fitting for him, Christ, for whom all things and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons to glory, to make the author of their salvation perfect through sufferings, bringing us to glory. That's God's purpose. To bring us into his kingdom as his children. Very important. the very reason why we're here. Hebrews 5, and in verse 12, again, verses explaining to you and I why it's important for us to be here, why it's important for us to study God's Word. And it doesn't matter if you've been in the church a month or you've been in the church for 50 years. These verses still apply. Hebrews 5 and verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. How does that relate to each one of us? Through our years of study and prayer and fasting, and church attendance, do we know the Word of God? Do we know what Scripture says? In verse 13, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. If you're not in the classroom, you can't learn the lesson. Remember how difficult it was when you missed a day of school and you went there and just trying to make up so you weren't behind, so you were with all of the other students? I know our children went through that, and I'm sure yours have too, at feast time. If they're not careful, they can get behind, and then it's a real challenge to try to make up all the lessons when they get back. It's important to be in the classroom. It's important to get that work done. Our classes that we take online, we have classes every Tuesday. And if I miss one, thankfully they're recorded and I have to go back and watch that. But I have to spend that time watching it because the next lesson is going to take off from that one. If I don't watch that, if I don't listen to it, I won't have a clue where he's going to take up for the next class. I've got to do my homework. I've got to be in class. That's what this is. Every Sabbath we're in class. We're learning. We're being taught a new lesson today. What happens if we continually miss lessons? We're not going to be successful. We're not going to know what God's Word says. In verse 14, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We've done our homework. We've been in class. We work together. We're building something. Do we know the basic truths of God? Do we know what they are? Could we take a look at ourselves, evaluate ourselves, and say, after years of being a part of the body of Jesus Christ, are you or I still unskilled in the word of righteousness? Are we still unskilled? If someone new comes in, ask questions, can we help them? And I think you do a good job. I think you all do a good job of that. Very important. Very important. But our spiritual growth is ongoing. Continuing education, that's God's church. Continuing education. Have we reached full age as a Christian? Have we matured over the years as a Christian? And that doesn't mean we've reached perfection. We strive for perfection. That's our goal, to be perfect as Jesus Christ was perfect. But we're told in chapter 6 of Hebrews, and in verse 1, to leave the basics and move toward perfection. We move on. We don't stay where we were when we first came into the church. We grow in the knowledge of God's truth. That's what helps our congregation to grow. But our growth can be stifled if spending time on God's holy Sabbath day in the presence of God and with like-minded people, we can stifle that growth. Many people, and when I say many people, I begin with me. Because over the last 45, 47 years, I've used every excuse that you could possibly think of for not coming to church. Excuses are the easiest thing in the world to come up with. They are. But some have said, members aren't friendly. I'm not going there. Members aren't friendly. They never talk to me. Just an unfriendly church. Could be some truth to that. Others have said, I'm too tired. I've worked, like 50 hours this week and I'm beat. I'm not going to go to church today. I'm tired. I'm going to sleep in. Others have said, I have another appointment. I got somewhere else to be. This is a one-shot deal. The Cubs are in town one day. I got to go. Somebody gave me tickets to that game. I'd offend them if I wouldn't take those tickets and use them. And it's just not convenient at the time they meet. 2:30 in the afternoon, you got to be kidding me. That's nap time. Can't go to church. Now, maybe Kelly uses nap time here. He combines the two. I don't know. But it's an excuse. It's an excuse. The hall's too small. This hall is too small. Look at here how we're crowded together. Not comfortable. The hall's too far away. And I talk to people who live on one end of Okemos and tell them we meet on the other end of Okemos, and they say, oh, wow, I can't go that far. It's 3 miles, 4 miles. I can't go that far. It's too far. I have family or friends that want me to do something with them. So I'm going to go ahead and do that. You know, there are times when God understands there are things that we need to do. You know, God is not a dictating God who says everything's got to be my way or the highway on certain things. And then again, He is like that on certain things. But what are we doing with family? You know, by keeping God's Sabbath day, by sticking to what we believe and what we know to be the truth, what better example can we set? And it's not to turn off family. You know, there are some organizations that won't allow one member of their group to talk to a family member that attends another group. That doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense. We certainly love our families and want to spend time with them. But God has to be first. Scripture tells us that. God is first. God's number one. So what can we do to make sure that that happens? You know, it's an individual decision. Another excuse, I don't like the way things are done at church. I just don't like the way it's run. It's crazy. It doesn't make any sense. If I did it, if I was in charge, I'd do it this way. Or I'd do it that way. Excuse after excuse after excuse. And like I told you, if somebody told us to get in line and who had the most excuses, I'd be in the front of the line. Because we can use them. But we all have something to give. We all have something to contribute to make our church services better. And if we're not here, how do we know that? How do we begin to make it better? How do we share suggestions and ideas if we're not here? And if we're not willing to be a part of something. We were all called by God as individuals. We all have a part to play. That's what Scripture tells us. We all have that part to contribute. No one here can do everything. I've seen services where over the years you have two or three or four people doing everything all the time. And it can be for different reasons. I mean, they want to be in charge, or other people are afraid if they ask if they can do something, they'll be told no. Or, I'll go ahead and let them handle it. So we go ahead. But, you know, people wear out. And if a lot of pressure is put on certain people, that can be an excuse eventually for them to say, I'm not going to church. I can't relax. I feel burdened down by being the person who does everything. That's why it's so important for us to all add our gifts, add our skills, add our suggestions and ideas. So we share in this together. If God only needed one person here, that's probably all that would be here today. God wouldn't need the rest of us. But God needs us as we need Him. And He's given us an opportunity to make something very, very special. To make our church services very special. That beginning on Sunday, we begin looking forward to being at church on the Sabbath. We want to be back there. We want to be back in a group. When the congregations were bigger and more people lived in a community, you could get together through the week. That's very difficult to do today because people are scattered. So this day, this one day of the week, God's Holy Sabbath Day, is the day we can really come together and enjoy and appreciate what God has done for us, because God's given us this. It's a gift. It's a gift. And if we take that gift and put it on the shelf and don't open it, it hasn't done us a bit of good. We can't even appreciate it. But think back on the things we really enjoyed about church services in the past. What did you really enjoy about being at church? Whether it was something big or something small, we all have to remember and appreciate something that was really good, made us feel good at services. And I mentioned door greeters earlier, and they'll always have a warm place for me. The first day I came to church, very nervous, very scared, because back then, as many of you know, you went by invitation only. Well, my brother had been invited, but I hadn't been. But I was bound and determined, I'm going to go, because I got to have more of this. I got to have more of what my brother's getting. So when we pulled up to the church, first thing I thought of is, I hope they let me in. And when I looked up at the door, the greeter, who was a pretty big gentleman, was a guy I worked with back when I was in my early 20s. Might have even been in my teens. But I, all of a sudden, flashbacks. How bad did I swear? Did I blow cigarette smoke in his face? What lies did I tell him? All of this kept coming back, and he's probably not going to let me in. But when I walked up to that door, he reached out his hand and shook my hand, gave me a smile, and said, hey, glad you're here. And he told me, you know, later on, he said, if I would have been a betting man and bet that God would never have had someone here at his church service, you would have been the guy. But he made that first church service something special. He welcomed me, knowing some of the stupid things I had said and done working with him. But yet, he made me feel welcome. I'll always remember that. And I told him about that as often as I could, how his efforts on that day just made all the difference in the world. I've talked to people who have desired to come to church, and they would pull in the parking lot and think about it and leave. They didn't know what to expect. They didn't know what they were walking into because it's so different. And finally, through prayer, they worked up the courage to come in, because it takes courage to come here. It takes courage to be different. It takes courage to honor our Creator and our Savior. Look at the courage of the disciples. Look at the courage they show. And through the examples of people down through history and the courage it took to obey God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And in verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 24. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Very, very simple verse, but so important. If we think about the other person's needs and the well-being of each other, we'll forget about our petty little things that go on in each one of our lives. We'll be looking to serve and to help others and to make sure that their Sabbath day is meaningful. To make sure if we have a visitor come in, I expected a new person here today. They didn't show up, but this person has never been to a church service. Hopefully he will come. But he was telling me on the phone, this was new. And he had wanted to call, and he's read a lot of articles, and he just had to call. Something just told him to call, and he did. But it takes courage to come in here for the first time. But are door greeters the key to God's kingdom? No. Do we need door greeters? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. We need door greeters to be there to welcome those here for the first time. Or to welcome one of us whose week has been terrible. Trials we've gone through. Loneliness we've gone through. Heartache we've gone through. And yet we come here and we meet somebody at that door reaching out and giving us a smile. Glad you're here. It's important. Very important. And each one of us can make sure that as a representative of Jesus Christ, and that's who we are, that we take the time to meet and greet our guests or new people. But we can begin by doing that with each other. You know, sometimes new people are overwhelmed and, you know, we're excited to see them here and we'll go up and maybe we offer too much information. And it might be best if we just have our listening ears on and let them ask the questions. Because we certainly don't want to drive them away. Have you tithed? What about second tithe? What about third tithe? You know, have you kept Pentecost or the Holy Days? You know, they don't know. Just like we didn't know. If someone would have told me that the first day I went, I would have left. Didn't know that. God brings us along as He'll bring new people along. But we can be an ear. Anything I can help you with? Any questions? Yeah, the bathroom's just down here around the corner. Have a cup of coffee. And you guys do that well. You do it well. That's part of who we are. That's part of making this congregation warm. And I've heard people talk about how warm and friendly this congregation is. That's great. That's what you want to hear. Those are the kind of things you want to hear. But what can we do to make it even better? To make it work better? We can involve our teens and younger children, which we are very fortunate to have here. We don't have many. But they're a part of our church. They're a part of this congregation, just as we all are. Very important. They have opinions, they have questions, they want to help, they want to do things. We need to let them do that. We need to bring them in and help them to be a bigger part of this congregation. We need to involve our children each week. They come here and sit. They come here and listen. But there are things I'm sure we can find that they can help with, that they can feel a part of. Our conversations on the Sabbath should glorify and honor God. We certainly wouldn't want new people coming in or visitors coming in and we're over here talking about, you know, the NBA or the NFL or something like that. And that's our major conversation. Those things might come up, but they should just be a glance. They should be just a minute part of our conversation. Our conversation should be on, hey, what do you think about that message today? Is there, you know, that was, I never thought about this, or I never thought about that, or, you know, this joker's all wet, or just say something, you know. But talk about today, Sabbath services. Talk about God, and talk about Jesus Christ. Talk about how our lives affected by our calling, and how great it is. Romans chapter 12, if you turn there. Romans 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. Very familiar verses here again as well. Romans 12 and in verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body is a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. Present ourselves before God on God's sanctified, set apart, holy Sabbath day. And then it goes on, which can be a challenge for many of God's people, because the world has a lot to offer, or it appears it has a lot to offer. It has a lot of physical things going on. A lot of pulls. A lot of distractions. A lot of things we, as God's people, can get caught up in if we're not careful. But in verse 2, and it says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Renewing our mind. Every week, every Sabbath, we can come here and renew our mind. Refresh our mind. Oh yeah, I'm here. That's why I'm here. I understand that. But to continually think about what God has given us and what God offers us. Services don't have to be overstructured. And I think at one time, maybe they were overstructured. But there is a need for basic structure. First Corinthians 14. First Corinthians 14, and in verse 40, and the heading on this part of this chapter is order in church meetings, but it says in verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order. A very special day, God's Sabbath day. We should do things in order. We should do things decently. And have a structure that honors God. Have a structure that's helpful to people and helpful to each member that's here. Helping each other to appreciate our Sabbath services. Matthew 22. If you turn there with me. Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Again, familiar verses, but these verses are why we're here. This is what it's all about. Matthew 22 and in verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he, Christ, had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, testing. People test God all the time. I'm sure many times church members test God. Are you sure, God? You sure I need to honor your Sabbath day? You sure that's a command? Because you tell me to remember it, so it's different. Always testing him. But then he went on to ask Christ, he said, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." That means you will put God first above everything in your life. Above everything. But then he goes on, this is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Love God, love one another. Help one another. Serve one another. And we can do that, especially here on God's Sabbath day. If we're here. If we're here. You know, the attendance at congregations all around, I don't know, I can't say all around the world, but in the United States anyway, really fluctuate. And you wonder, why is that? Why does attendance fluctuate on that? One Sabbath you may have 30, the next Sabbath you may have 15, the next Sabbath you may have 20, then back up to 35, and then, you know, you're wondering, why is this? What's going on? And yes, people get sick. Yes, people are out of town. But that's pretty big numbers. And you just wonder why that is. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. If you take NASCAR, hopefully most of you have watched NASCAR races. And when a race car comes into the pits, there's a team of people there that take care of that car, that service that car. Take one of those people out of the loop. He decides he's going to step back in the easy chair because they're, you know, the soap opera I missed is on, so I'm going to watch it. What does that do to the team? What does that do to the race car driver? What does that do to his chances of winning that race? Something's missing there. Something's missing. Together, they can get it done. But when part of the team isn't there, it becomes a challenge. And it is for congregations. When everyone's not here, it becomes a challenge to get things done. Because we all want to share. We all want to make our congregations something that's very pleasing, something that's very welcoming, something that works. Matthew 7 and verse 21. Matthew 7 and verse 21. Says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" And in verse 24, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." Is our belief, is our spiritual life grounded on Jesus Christ? Grounded on God's truth? Grounded on the commandments of God? Or do we play with those commandments? "Now everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does them, now everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house and it fell. And great was its fall." And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So by that scripture, you're saying Jesus didn't mince any words here. What he was saying is, people, get your act together. You hear what I'm saying, do it. Do it. He was trying to help them, trying to teach them. And we go back up in chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7 and in verse 12. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. We're here learning that. We're not only here learning that, being taught that, but we're here living that. That's our life. Living God's way, growing spiritually, doing the will of God. That's why we were called. And that includes being here on God's Sabbath day, worshiping God, being a congregation that can serve not only ourselves as we serve God, but serve one another. Serve the guests who come. Serve the new people who come. Making this something very, very special. Making it something that we're all a part of. You know, there are a lot of things to do. And we can all do that. We can all be a part of it and should be a part of it. And God wants us all to be a part of it. We all have something to add. That's what Scripture says. That's not my opinion. That's what God says. We all have something to give and all have something that we can share. But we want, when someone comes here for the first time or we have visitors come, we want them to be impacted on our friendliness, on how warm we are, and how we take care of them when they come. And that we offer ourselves to those people. What can I do for you? And we learn that by offering ourselves to each other. What can I do for you today? Can I just listen? Can I give you some advice? Can we have a cup of coffee? What can we do? But we were talking on the way up here, and Barb had mentioned one of the ministers who's moving, and he's only going to be able to be at, he has four congregations, he's only going to be able to be at each congregation once a month. And we feel terrible that we're not here every week. I wish we could be here every Sabbath. I don't know if that's your wish or not. Maybe you're wishing against me. But I thought about him and I thought, you know, that's just a sad situation that he can only be there. Because I know the man and I know he would want to be at each congregation every Sabbath. And it just isn't working that way right now. Maybe in the future it will. But what a blessing it is to be able to come here on God's Sabbath, come out of the world. You know, we try to tune the world out as best we can and come here and let God fill us with His Holy Spirit. Because if we're full of God's Holy Spirit, there's no room for anything else. There's no room for the world. Can't get in. But we can be a very loving, kind, and warm congregation. And I'm not saying that we're not. But there is always room for improvement. I remember going in at work for an evaluation. And I thought, wow, I'm probably going to get, you know, if the rating was between 1 and 10, I thought, well, you know, I probably should get all 10s. I mean, it's me that they're evaluating. Surely they know how good I am. But then you go there and you see an 8. See a 9. And there might even be a 7 in there, and you start feeling, wow, what am I going to do? And then I would ask my supervisor, well, what about this? You know, you gave me an 8 here, and I thought I was doing better. Mike, there's always room for improvement. Okay. There's always room for improvement. I thought I was doing the best I could, but found out I could do a little better. And so that's the same with us. There's always room for improvement. We can't become complacent. We can't become ho-hum. This is a working church, This is a church. It was given a commission by Jesus Christ many, many years ago. Go and preach the gospel to all the world. Take my truth to the world. We're doing part of that. We're doing our part as members of the body of Jesus Christ. But let's think about, what do I bring to this congregation? Because we each should ask that same question. What do I bring to this congregation? We can pray about it, can meditate on it, even fast about it. But let's see what we can all do to make this congregation better. Again, not that it's bad at all, and I'm not saying that. But there's always room for improvement.